4 o'clock, we've got a quorum.
This is.
Thank everybody for being here. Today's the, today's Thursday of spring, and I think it just turned in spring just a few minutes ago.
We could be the first one after.
Congratulations.
We can't hear.
I'm all happy. Okay, we got a new employee, or Andrew Ferranto.
Yes.
Yeah, Andrew, you want to come up and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit something about yourself?
All right, like I said, my name's Andrew Ferranto. I'm a real big believer in local government, so I'm excited to be here at the city of Loveland. I was born in the city of Loveland.
What's your position?
Oh, I'm an electrical engineer.
That's all right.
I was born here in Loveland. I grew up in Greeley. I went to school at the University of Wyoming, majored in electrical engineering. From there, I got a position as electrical engineer at Warden Engineering. And from there, I worked for many different REAs and local utilities until I finally found pretty much my dream job here at the city of Loveland. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, welcome. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah. Okay, this is the minutes. I need a motion to approve the minutes of February the 20th. Is there any additions, deletions, or alterations to the minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I move approval of the minutes of the February 20th, 2019 Loveland Utilities Commission meeting as written.
Is there a second? Okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay. All right, the next item on our agenda is the LUC liaison selection for electric rate study and the budget committee. And I think I have two volunteers for the electric rate study. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, John and Gene.
Can you add three? I'd like to be on the hour.
Wait, three or
two? Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I think that three would be fine. And especially if somebody couldn't make the meeting, then there'd be somebody to step in and take over. So that would be fine. Right. Budget committee. Is there any volunteers for the budget committee?
A volunteer.
Tom is volunteering for that.
I'll volunteer for that also.
That's a pretty heavy time.
Okay.
I certainly can. You're welcome to, Larry, but it's a heavy time commitment with both of them. It's your call, Mr. Chair.
Well, I'll volunteer also. So when the three of us go ahead and do the budget committee, and then we'll, if you can't make it, Larry, with all of the other study group, then we can make sure that somebody is covering that. All right. Citizens reports. I think we do have somebody who has a...
Yeah, I'll introduce. We have a gentleman here, Rick Euchre, who is a user of solar panels here in the city and wanted to spend a couple of minutes. He knows you're going into the rate setting for solar panels, so he'd like to address you for a couple minutes.
You want, brother?
Okay.
Just talk right here.
Oh, you can talk right here if you want. If you stand up, it'd be
helpful. I
can
get up in the phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The 16.7% per kilowatt solar electric tax is improper. Solar 10 kilowatt customers pay nearly three times the base rate, which is overhead costs. Solar does not raise power overhead costs. So why is solar people paying extra for overhead when regular customers don't, paying three times what regular customers pay? Your own study confirms this and instead suggests benefits by reduced transformer and transmission line costs. In fact, adding solar homes will reduce capital expenditures and the maintenance in Loveland's future growth. Your free, quote, free from FEMA $9 million solar farm is a 30 to 50 year system with minimal maintenance. You earn approximately, by my calculations, $1 million a year from it. It was a good investment of our disaster relief taxes. After an 8-year return on investment, it is the gift that keeps on giving to our city, to our country, in clean, free solar energy. But solar home panels and maintenance are not free. We pay tens of thousands at no cost to the city. My 4-kilowatt collector return on investment will take approximately 40 years with your 16.7% per kilowatt taxation. If I pay the same fair monthly overhead base as regular customers, my ROI would be approximately 29 years. Please stop your unfair solar tax, subsidizing regular customers at the expense of solar energy providers is against your billing policy. It discourages more citizens from brightening our future with a clean, renewable energy source. Stopping their sacrifice, solar energy providers, home providers, stopping their sacrifice by making any return on investment go beyond their lifetimes is punitive to everyone, not just the solar collectors, but everyone in the future in this city that wants to invest in solar. Stop this unfair billing. Encourage our better future with at least fair monthly base rate billing, which is like everybody else pays the same overhead for our structure in the city.
I will. On behalf of the chairman, thank you for your comment. As you know, we will be doing a cost of service study in the coming months for our electric rates, and we will be bringing before the City Council, who is the ultimate arbiter in terms of the rate structure, we will be bringing before them three different options regarding billing for solar self-generating customers. We will be presenting those three options to the LUC to get a semblance of their take next month in the April meeting, and we will be taking this to get a sense of council in the May meeting. And there will be three different options, all involving a variety of combinations of base rates and repayment.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on the agenda item is the information items. We have four of them. Is there any questions or comments about any of the items?
Stay.
All right. Well, I just want to make a comment that the water situation is looking better.
Yeah, so well, it's
real good. Pleased with that.
Thank you.
So maybe things will brighten up here as far as snowpack and water.
Gary?
Yeah.
I'll make the same comment that I did last night. There were two graphs. One is the this one light level, and the other one is the drought. It seemed like they're drastically opposed to each other.
Yes.
And I think we had an explanation on that last week. My question is the latter getting any better with the former?
I would think after this last week.
I would sure hope so.
Yeah.
I thought there was a revision.
Okay,
he has proved.
I'd be happy to address that.
It looks a lot better.
The article in the paper today.
As far as the difference, the two graphs that you're talking about, the one is the snowpack, which is very good, as you know, and it's showing high levels. The other is a drought index, and that takes more into account. It takes into account soil moisture conditions, lake storage, all of these kinds of things that create a drought. And so what it's telling you when those are not together is that we have a good snowpack this year, but the drought is far from over. And unless this just keeps snowing and it's monumental, it may take several years to get out of this drought cycle with above average snowpack. So that's why those are not the snowpack.
As far as your other question, the drought management is improving.
Yeah,
it is printed out today. Excuse me. That looks even better than what I had in your packets.
Yeah.
Because the packet information was from last Tuesday morning.
Good.
It is improving.
Well, I was sort of suspecting that it should be getting better, but I couldn't tell exactly.
It's better in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not having a problem.
That's how you define better.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the regular agenda. We're going to move item number six up. We have two representatives from Crystal Mountain Ranch here that would like to make a comment after our presentation. So, Brian, would you like to do the thing?
So the owners of Crystal Mountain Ranch came to us with a request for an augmentation, a long-term augmentation supply plan. Basically, they've got something they could offer in the city for exchange, providing a long-term augmentation plan for them. Alan Vicencio, Villa Vicencio, right? I want to make sure I pronounce that correctly, is the owner, and Brandon is their representing engineer. I'd like to kind of discuss the proposition as is, the proposal here. So if we can, this is just kind of a close-up,
that's,
but
that,
the ranch is about here.
Right there.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you. So the proposal as is they're requesting 20 acre feet of fully consumable or reusable water that we would supply into the river, into the Big Thompson River, just downstream of our water treatment plant. So that could either be part of the reusable portion coming out of our drying beds in the decant ponds that's released back to the river. That could be a direct release of reusable water out of Green Ridge Glade Reservoir back to the river, kind of going around the water treatment plant. We put that infrastructure in recently. Or that could also come downstream. If we had to go further downstream, there's no intervening calls. We could even potentially make up that with our effluent at the wastewater treatment plant. No intervening calls, though, is a big stretch of river. So most likely we'd be meeting all that upstream if we were to implement this plan. And it would require some coordination with the river commissioner, obviously, when we'd release that water, and to make sure it's coinciding with her other operations that she's going to be able to give credit at that time. So this is just kind of a perspective map on where Crystal Mountain Ranch is located. Here's Masonville, for example. So it's up here, and it's off the North Fork of the Fish Creek River, which is a tributary to the Buckhorn Creek. And that confluence of the Buckhorn Creek and the Big Thompson River is downstream of where we discharge from the water treatment plant, the decant pond release, and where Green Ridge Glade Reservoir would be releasing back to the river. So that confluence is downstream.
Where's Masonville on the map there?
Right up here. It's,
okay.
I don't know if you can see the laser pointer, but it's right up here. And Crystal Mountain Ranch is right below where I have the header up here for the proximity map. Any other questions about the location before I move on? So this talks about the benefits to the city, what they'd be offering us in exchange for making this augmentation plan work. 2 shares of unchanged Loudoun Ditch Company. It's often referred to Loudoun Ditch and Irrigating Company, commonly more as this Loudoun Ditch Company. So that'd be 2 shares. What we give in our water bank credit for 2 shares of Loudoun Ditch Company right now, and that's for 2 full shares, not just one, but it would be 24.34 acre feet of credit in our water bank. Then we have a native raw water storage fee that's attached to bringing in those 2 shares of native ditch, and they would be bringing that in as a cash allotment for $166,729. And then they are not in the CBT sub-district, so they're not able to buy shares directly or units of CBT. So they've offered 5 cash equivalent units of CBT at kind of a projected cost of $40,000 per unit. You've seen our cash in lieu right now. It's about $37,220. So they're offering a little more than our cash in lieu and offering a cash equivalent of $40,000 per unit times 5 $200,000. So the lump sum in monetary value is about $366,729. If you look at how we give credit currently for CBT units, if we were able to purchase those on the market, right now we give 1 acre foot of credit, but the firm yield is actually closer to 0.7. So breaking that 5 units of CBT down to 1 acre foot volume in the firm yield would be like 3.5 acre feet. So if you take the 24.34 acre feet and assuming that we can purchase 5 units on the market at $40,000 per unit or less, added the 3.5, you get a total water compensation of about 27.8 acre feet on an average annual basis. So those are the two things to consider, the monetary value and the raw water compensation if we can afford and find those 5 units on the market. The other thing to consider is we'd still need to change the Loudoun ditch shares for municipal use. So we'd need to take out of that the cost of changing the shares through water court and attorney and engineering fees. So the ratio of the raw water that we'd be getting based on the ratio of water that we're supplying is a 1.4 to 1 ratio. So we'd be providing the one they'd be giving us about 1.4 times on an average annual basis of the water that we'd be supplying. Okay, so the staff kind of evaluated other cases with our long-term augmentation plans. The most recent ones being Sylvandale Ranch, which is in proximity to the city of Loveland. We have a lot of cross interests, especially with where our Green Ridge Glade Reservoir is located. That agreement ended up being about a 2-to-1 ratio. They provided 12 units of CBT and wanted about 6 acre feet of credit for their augmentation plan annually. Also, the Emissaries of Divine Light was another recent augmentation long-term plan agreement that we entered into, and that was also a 2-to-1 ratio of water being supplied in return for the amount of water being requested. So there's a few factors and a few reasons under the current conditions of this proposal. The city is not recommending this. The Crystal Mountain Ranch has no nexus to the city. The two most recent augmentation agreements already discussed provided the 2-to-1 ratio. And there's just no precedent that we're aware of for the city serving even an augmentation plan or water to an area so distant from the city or its water utility customers. Now I'm gonna give them a chance to comment. Brandon's also a good friend of mine. I used to work with him a little bit as Darren Alt when I was interning there. And they have a chance to give their perspective to us. And I think they did some great engineering, but just this is our recommendation on the current conditions. There may be some alternatives that they can come back and propose to us. And they're gonna discuss that a little bit. Are there any other questions here before Brandon and Alan Villavicencio come up?
So I have a dumb one. First of all, thank you. Michael will print out that 166,000.729, so I couldn't.
That is a comma. It got transposed wrong in the original handouts, but it should be a comma.
So what does needy raw storage for 166,000 mean to me?
That is the fee they would pay on the 2 units of Loudoun Ditch Company to bring in our water bank. That native raw water storage fee helps us kind of firm those native water rights and help towards storage projects so we can firm that more.
How did you make it more reliable? 183,000 for sure.
We break the cash equivalent down into acre foot for the 2 shares, and then we figure out per acre foot we have a raw water storage fee requirement. Maybe Larry, I don't have that number right on.
Larry, there's a table back in Title 19 on the water rights that addresses the storage fee for each of the different kinds of water that we get, and it's on a per acre foot basis at the time the water is used. In the case of the Loudoun, that fee is like $7,100 or something.
$6,850 per acre foot.
$6,850 per acre foot. So we took the 24.2, I guess it was, acre feet times that number, and that's what that is there.
That's a storage in perpetuity?
Yes, yes. That's one of the fees that helped build Green Ridge Blade. You know, we may build other storage. We're certainly building Chimney Hollow. So it's a way to take water that is available only a part of the year and stretch that out over the course of the year.
Now, does that answer your question? So it's taking the 24.34 times that number per acre foot.
Okay.
Right, well, with that, I'd like to introduce Brandon Eflin. He's with Garen Alt Engineering Consultants, and Alan DeLavicencio.
Thanks.
Oh, you probably got
I'm going to actually. I'm going to use yours.
Okay.
If you don't mind for a second. Thank you for hearing us out today, and also thanks to the staff. I think Derek, Ryan, and Larry. Larry, I've been bugging regarding this issue, I think going back 5 years now, beginning in 2014. One thing I did want to say is that Mr. Villavicencio's property is an active cattle ranch, and the kind of the purpose of building or augmenting the existing pond as well as building a second pond is to facilitate irrigation and his active cattle ranching that's going on the property. One thing I wanted to mention about Ryan's slide, thanks for putting this together. The total monetary compensation does leave out one issue. The cost of the two shares of Loudon Water themselves was about $400,000 roughly. So total monetary compensation is more in the order of $800,000 to get to this point with the dedication of that Loudon Water. Our proposal that we sent to Larry in 2018, in November 2018, was meant to be a conversation starter. We knew that terms might be negotiable, and we've now learned that these other augmentation plans came to the table with about a 2-to-1 ratio. Won't speak on behalf of Alan, it's not my checkbook, but I think what we've provided is something that if the commission was willing to entertain, we could of course look at changing those terms, make sure that this is something that would be acceptable and make sense for the city in terms of amount of water or cash in lieu of water to get that ratio to where it makes sense for you guys to entertain. As for what took so long, as part of what Larry and I have been dealing with for 5 years was that I understood that the city at that time did not have infrastructure in place to make these small scale releases to the Big Thompson, as well as a water quality issue that I understand has now been resolved. As far as the nexus issue, I think what we're hoping to do is piggyback and help offset some of the investment that the city has done in putting that infrastructure in place to make those small-scale releases on behalf of Silverdale and emissaries. If we can piggyback on that, help offset that infrastructure cost as well as the ongoing cost, then we hope that that would be something that would make sense for the commission. So, anyhow. Alan, do you have anything else?
No, I mean, the whole goal here is just to do the right thing with the water, you know, be transparent about what we're doing up there. So hopefully we can find something that's mutually beneficial.
Larry and Ryan, in terms of the reasons, was there, how much of the reasons for rejecting it was more to do with the amount of water, that ratio versus the nexus issue? We can help one of those, but you know, can't do anything about the.
Both of those are important. You know, as we've been discussing here, the ratio probably needs to be somewhere because we've got to be ready for that drought year. That's
sure.
The reason for that, because we still have the obligation on in the drought. As far as the nexus, I just would remind the LUC members that we've had requests and a few other times in the past, and at least the direction we've gotten in the past has been keep it close. you know, keep it close here and to Loveland and what you're going to do. So that's something that I think as a group you would need to talk about if you did want to take it any farther away. But the only ones that we've done so far have all had a fairly strong nexus to the city financially or culturally one way or the other up to this point. And so that's why that one's in particular.
Can I ask you a question on that, Larry? As far as maybe defining keeping it close, have we considered things like the growth management area or the urban growth area in that, or any kind of a,
there has,
you know, a defined planning boundary or something?
There has not been a definition that's been provided for this in that manner. You know, we've had requests, I remember going back a few years from near Sylvandale, but there, you know, there was no connection. At that time, the OUC wasn't interested in that particular one anyway. And even this request did come to the OUC, I don't remember this man, I should have looked, but it's been a couple of years ago. And at that time, at least, the direction was the same, so they don't want to do it. I'm just reminding you of those things so that you can have the context for whatever you decide to do here going forward.
Right. What does the completion of Chimney Hollow do to the aspect of this? With using
Chimney Hollow probably would not have an impact on this type of thing because we're not creating, it's Windy Gap water. I guess we could put it down there and it'd be one more source, but our preference would be to use it ourselves first and then make it available as a second use product. So, you know, unless we just did a direct release somewhere, we'd want to get it over to our plant and use it. But it is one more source. You know, if you were running out of the others and you had some stored there. So in that sense, it's a positive thing.
So yes, we have two of these now. Agreements in place.
We have the two that are out west of town. There are Sylvandale and in the Sears and Glen Line.
How many of these happen every 10 years that we get requests?
You know, this is an area that's been developing over the last few years, and it's hard to find augmentation water. It's not easy to get it produced. Is expensive and. And so the sources are somewhat limited. We're seeing, well, I can't say a whole lot of requests, but they do come in on occasion, and I would expect if anything we'll be seeing more in the future. Just because of the things I described, it's hard to find the water. Cities tend to produce it.
Is there a reason for us to expand our radius, so to speak? I get nervous, number one, for staff time, because this takes work, and I can appreciate why LUC probably before my time said it's close or adjacent to the city.
Well, that is a factor. There's some thoughts that I can share with you. You know, along those lines, there is an element of risk anytime you take one of these on. And we have been careful to put language in and say, if the worst comes to worst, the city unilaterally can make a decision to back out. Now, I don't know what that would really mean in practicality, but that would be an option that we want to hold open. But administratively, we're still kind of developing these sources. We think we have a pretty good idea of how much there will be. That we can use, and we have to meet the city's own obligations first. We have, first of all, return flows, and then we have augmentation for city wells and different things that the city has developed or may develop in the future. And we're still trying to determine how much do we really, truly have. And so, you know, we're trying not to get ahead of ourselves. Maybe it's an abundance of caution, I don't know, but we want to be careful about that as well. So there are just a number of things like that we've talked about or thought about. We obviously have to take care of the water source for our citizens, number one, and that's why we're here. And so this is a chance to perhaps generate some income, but we want to be really careful about what we're obligating ourselves to.
Just a general question. So the I hope I'm asking this right, the infrastructure changes or that we implemented to be able to discharge into the river, would this exceed that capacity, or is there any concerns there at all?
I don't believe so. Okay. That infrastructure change that we were referring to was a low flow release.
Okay.
And that was completed here just recently. We haven't actually used it yet, so it's something we still need to test out. And when we do, the state wants to come look at it. What we put into the system was a 4-inch tap under the side of a pipe near the water treatment plant, and then through a meter out into the channel that eventually then gets down to the river, not too far above the river. So we can make returns there with water directly from Green Ridge Lake Reservoir. It would have to be reusable water, Windy Gap, or something we store that is reusable. And so we can do it, but this would not exceed that capacity. I would expect that will handle, a number of similar plants.
And the other part, the other question I had is there any type of ongoing governance obligation, or not only obligation, but options that we have to make sure that both parties are complying?
Well, the state pretty well takes care of whether everyone's complying with the recording that we have to do, and that would have to be done also by the other party there that has to be provided on a monthly basis to the state. So it's well regulated.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like that if we go ahead and do the motion to recommend denial, that the negotiation will still go on. Is that correct?
That's up to you. If you want us to negotiate, we can. If you don't want to go anywhere with this, you need to tell us that.
We can certainly modify that resolution.
Should the negotiation go on before we make a final decision?
Well, just to add a little point to that, I think the nexus in the terms of is this really the business of the city is a question that we would appreciate your guidance on before we would ever negotiate again. Because if we go back, they offer, 2-1 and the decision on a policy level, and obviously the city council would have to make that decision, because any permanent contract like this would have to go to the city council. We would want to understand whether this is, something where, yes, for the right price, the city is in the business of providing augmentation water to entities that can use it under our terms. So, I would appreciate that guidance before we would, go back and talk with Mr. Villavicencio about, the ratio that we would need to make this a good deal. It really is is this the business of the city going forward? It's a precedent-setting type of arrangement that, obviously offers financial benefits and would add staff time and that would be compensated for. And so it's a decision on that level. Yeah.
Is that something that city council should act on first?
Well, that's a good...
Or at least have a study session that could be addressed by council, and council can kind of give direction before you get too far down the road.
That's a fair point. And maybe you could, I don't know if you have a thought on that. Typically things go, recommendations from here to city council, but maybe in this circumstance that would be wise.
Well, because it's basically a nexus issue, I wonder if that shouldn't be addressed first.
Here.
And get council to weigh in on that.
Deals are deals, but it's the underlying philosophy that we're primarily concerned about.
Right.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go ahead and have a motion made as recommended by the staff, and then we'll vote on it.
Can I ask one question before we move on? What's that? What are other towns like us, Front Range, if you talk to the person, how about their approaches that they think
to me, I like what the staff recommended, quite frankly, unless the council or unless the city as a whole says we are going to try to take care of all our neighbors 10 miles out, if we can. I'm not sure we should be in that business. But.
Larry, I know that other communities do this. There are a lot of wells that need augmentation around things like that, and that's a good use of augmentation water. But as far as knowing specifically what the other communities do, I'm sorry, I don't have that information.
Quite a few communities will use, I'm familiar with them, reselling their reusable effluent that they have for these similar purposes. And I guess one thing I would add, and it's a bit semantics, but from our point of view, we're hoping to provide a proposal that between wet water and cash in lieu is a plus to the, you know, it provides more water than what we're asking for. And so when it comes to the idea of being in the business of supplying augmentation water, I would ask that you be in the business of receiving more water than you have to give back. And that's what we're hoping to find a proposal that makes that type of sense to you guys, that you're getting more water than we're asking for in turn.
Was the negotiation and contract in perpetuity, was there a time limit for renewals?
I think, if I remember, it was in perpetuity.
Yes. That issue came up in our meeting, and we never really got to an end of it. That, on one hand, the fact that we would be dedicating water and shares to the city, that would become a permanent deed. That, yeah, you know, I think at least a long-term lease.
So we discussed, you know, 25-year lease renewable or something like that along the way. These arrangements are permanent in a sense. You've got to think of them that are certain, it's very long term.
There's no water code involved with contract
reasons.
On our end, there will be,
but ours is already available for that purpose. As far as I know, there's no additional.
What about the two Loudon shares, though?
That would be, yes, the Loudon shares, and they mentioned that. The Loudon shares are not changed for city municipal use. So, they would have to be changed and put into our portfolio, and we go to the water portfolio, our next application.
Derek, if we reject this, does it end here in negotiations, or any involvement with the city council making a determination if we do it like this?
I would certainly want to talk with Joe and Larry and Roger about what.
Should we table this then? Should we table it or wait till?
Well, I guess I think we hope to hear your perspective on that, on at least that policy decision. I hear your point about city council is certainly well taken, and we had discussed, you know, what we might do. Bringing that up, or what would happen if, you know, you wanted to press forward in spite of, you know, any what the LUC preferred. So this is a little bit uncharted terrain. I'm not sure I would want, you know, I guess I'm certainly interested in the group's discussion on that policy question, recognizing that there might be a consideration or compensation issue, recognizing that city council also has that policy, you know, the ultimate policy authority. So we're not coming back here the next month to have the same discussion. You know, that was one thing we talked about, is just having a discussion about the future of, you know, our water utility with respect to our region, you know, mountain properties. I think you would, it's likely to see other folks, as water rights administration is always tightening.
How many miles away is the reservoir or the pond? Is it?
If we were to drive, we estimate
about
15 miles.
Yeah, as a crow flies, less. But
yeah, as a crow flies, I just did it in Google Earth. It's about 13 miles by air, but driving would probably be at least 15 miles, because there's a lot of windy canyons and county roads to get up there.
I don't know if there's precedence for this or if this is something normally do, but I would be very open to having a joint study session with City Council and talking about this as a larger group and just getting more information to see if this is something we want to do before we go out and reject it or approve it.
We can certainly put that on the itinerary, can't we, Mr. Adams?
Sure. Just a comment. It seems to me like before we got to that stage, we would have the staff give us some ideas about what kind of criteria would be appropriate to look at when these proposals come, at least from the staff's perspective. So we have some framework to actually work with.
We can do that. We can certainly do that.
Mr. Adams?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the discussion and the proposal. The question there, I think council will want to not start from scratch on this issue. So having some background information about what other communities do is a great idea. And they also would expect your expertise in this particular field to be reflected in some thoughts about what you think about it. And then they can certainly advise as the ultimate policy decision if you're on this. However, your group has one of the most number of years serving. I think you're over 152 years combined in your commission. I think the council respects that and hope to see some kind of a recommendation from you.
If I could make a recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I and to these gentlemen, I don't like kicking the can. But I think under the circumstances, I think what we would like to do, what the staff would like to do at this point, is to bring back points and counterpoints. And I think that Derek got to the heart of the matter. I think there's an underlying philosophical issue. And then if we can get past that, then there's a business deal. There's a compensation to discuss. But this is the matter that we have to settle first. And I think that we could probably bring back a fuller explanation of that next month. And present that to you as to some of the philosophies. Maybe we can talk to some of the other cities, find out some of the other policies there, and we can expand on that philosophical aspect of it and get some direction at that particular point and say, you know, what do you think your sense of direction is on the philosophy? Because after that, it's just a numbers deal. I mean, do we believe as staff that this is a good deal from a numbers standpoint or not? But the philosophy, the philosophical policy decision is something that we would look to you and then ultimately to city council. So we can certainly, again, not in any interest of kicking the can, I don't like that, but I think in this case we're compelled to come back with some additional guidance, some input that would allow you to make a decision. Does that seem like a reasonable standpoint? Larry, Roger, you good on that?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, you okay? Okay, and again, my apologies. Again, not meaning to kick the can, but I do think it's necessary in this case that we do that.
Sure.
May I ask another question?
Yes.
Does this only involve Big Thompson Drainage while we're being asked to do this?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So well, we're not by our square mile.
Yeah. The tributary is part of the Big Thompson River. North Fish Creek drains into the Buckhorn Creek and then into the Big Thompson. So this is all part of our watershed. If you look at our bigger basin.
How many square miles that drainage is?
I can't remember, but I've known the number. We've got it mapped out on the wall there in the office.
I just have a concern that we could be opening Pandora's box on this.
Well, I like Joe's recommendation because I'm still looking for kind of a cost benefit.
Yeah.
Kind of a study, you know, and I'm a little bit confused about voting right now, myself personally.
And understand our obligations.
We're going to flesh that out for you so you feel comfortable. Absolutely.
Yeah. I have a suggestion. Maybe you want to withdraw this rather than having it voted on our table at this point until you see where the process is going.
I think the prospects are looking better in your situation than it was just a few minutes ago. So.
Procedurally, I guess we're fine with that. If you don't want to vote on it today, that's fine with us. Let us know in the meantime if there's something, Larry, we can help out with research and different things. Again, thank you for your time and staff and time as well. Ryan did a lot of work. Nathan.
Quick question. The SBA allowed shares, was that about 14? Is said $400,000 for the lab chairs and $200,000 a piece. Is that what you actually paid for, or is that your estimate?
I don't think that's a...
Not appropriate.
No, it's inappropriate.
All right.
All right, well, thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, let's move on to item number five, acceptance of one share of Loudon Ditch into the water bank. Nathan?
Speaking of Loudon shares, I've been up here now three times in a row, so it's not in there. It'll be, if you could, it'll be on the, just in the back there. So, the gentlemen that were just here were talking about selling two Loudon shares, and there's, so this is a little bit different scenario. This is a, somebody has come to us with a request to bring a Loudon share into our water bank. Just basically bring it in for water bank credit, so we don't actually give them any financial compensation. Many of you may already know how the water bank operates. They bring in a share, and then as developers come in, they can then sell, the owner of the water bank share can then sell that credit to a developer to actually place onto property. For water dedication. So in this particular case, this person brought in was asking if they can bring in one share. The area that they irrigated with this share is in this area highlighted in yellow. And as you can see from the description, we got historical consumptive use. It was farmed here. The share was actually used on this area. This area ends up being about 61 acres, so there's quite a bit, and a little bit additional history. They actually had brought in shares previously, but hadn't used on the same area. They hadn't filled out a dry up covenant. They did this time for all of them, and so now we have the old shares with a dry up covenant, as well as this one new share. There's adequate dry-up for the amount of shares that we brought in, or the past shares as well as this share. And so you can see our recommendation that we are recommending that we accept it, the LUC accept it, but it's again in your ballpark. We've kind of gone through the diligence. Our outside engineering firm also feels that this was adequate, and what they brought in from historical use, maps, etc., was good to cover. Any questions?
Any questions?
Yes.
What's the value of that one share?
So in the water bank, so we don't actually pay them for it. They bring it as a water bank. On the open market currently, we don't set the prices, but individuals tend to sell a ditch share from between $18,000 to $22,000 per acre foot. One share is worth 12.17, because that's what Ryan was sharing earlier, 12.17 acre feet per share of Loudon Ditch. So you did the math, you know, I can do it real quick here. So 12.17 times, let's say 20,000, so about $243,000. Now that doesn't take into consideration the raw water storage fee. That was the other part that they were talking about. So, did I answer your question?
And to that raw water storage fee, that's paid when this share is applied to a
yep.
project or a parcel.
Exactly.
As with the other one, it's not paid at the point it goes into the warrant, right?
It's not paid upfront. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. And that's a standard policy, because that rate can change. It hasn't for quite a while, but and that's why we do it that way.
If they're putting one share at 12.17 acre feet into our water bank, how much are they getting back out of our water bank? 12.17? Or are they getting out a firm yield amount of 8.5?
So they don't actually get any water back out, but when they go to dedicate it to a property, then it is at that conversion rate, whatever that conversion rate is. And then currently, so if LUC allowed it to be brought into the water bank, the one share, and then the very next day after all the paperwork's done, they were able to sell it to a developer, they could sell that full 12.17 acre feet to that developer, and then we base what we charge a developer based on their either their tap size or our formula within Title 19. So it's not we're not quite talking about the same thing. You're talking about firm yield as in our raw water master plan, where this volume of water is more based on what we charge developers when they bring water in to dedicate to a property. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Maybe I can help clarify.
Sure.
So the code currently has a conversion rate that each share in our water bank of Loudoun is worth
12.1
acre feet when it's firmed, right?
Yep.
We're going to go to court at some point again, and you never know what could happen. If our Loudoun change of Loudoun shares reduces that Loudoun share, we'd probably go to City Council and say, City Council, you need to reduce our credit because we're not getting that from Loudoun shares. So even a share that was deposited today, if that was held in the water bank for 20 years and then finally cashed in, at the time it's cashed in, they get the yield that the City Council has approved in the municipal code at that time.
And that value is set in conjunction with City Council as far as the actual code, but it's mostly determined by the raw water master plan and that firm yield study that Sprunk Water Engineers that came and presented a while back. So, and right now, the numbers are very similar with their most recent modeling that they did.
What's the historic firm yield?
I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing.
It's also in that same table, basically. It's the yield we're going to get in a drought situation. I think it's about 2 acre feet.
Oh, you're talking, or are you asking without storage?
Yeah. This is with storage?
Yeah, so that 12.17 is with storage. If they don't pay the raw water storage fee, then it's 2.43 acre feet per acre.
Per share?
Per share, sorry. Yeah.
What's the 2.43?
2.43.
And what is that? That's the 6.
That's without the storage.
Oh, that's on the yield out of the 12 acre feet. You want to yield 2.4.
Yeah, so if you didn't have that raw water storage fee that kind of helps solidify it year round, then all we can give them is 2.43.
What's the source of Loudoun?
Source of Loudoun, it's Big Thompson.
It's all Big Thompson.
Uh huh. Yeah. And it's like many ditches, it's got a lot of different priorities within it. It's one of our, it's a pretty good ditch right now. We kind of staff has certain ditches that we feel strongly about, and it's not the best one, but you know, it's been a good supply for us.
How many shares do you have in the water bank that are waiting to be converted to
for our next decree? Ryan's looking it up.
Yeah. So we have approximately 16.5 shares. That's what we're estimating. Has not been changed yet in the water court, but have been dedicated to the water bank.
That's all, Bob?
Yes, sir. That's just all. Any other questions?
How many shares totally are available in the Loudoun ditch?
The Loudoun company has 600 shares.
600.
About 140 of those go out of the Big Thompson Basin into the Hooter Basin. So the rest of those could potentially be used here for development. We currently own 247, is it? Do you have that number in mind?